tonight, we're still dealing with the parables of Jesus, and the parables, just so that we don't forget what we're talking about, are earthly stories with heavenly meanings. So these are stories, and some of them, like the one we're looking at tonight, were just very, very brief. And you think about how Christ chose to communicate. He chose to communicate through stories. And, you know, many times in a lot of communities, there is the neighborhood storyteller, the one that you know has a lot of good stories about this or that, and they've got a lot of history they know. Well, we like to listen to stories. And Christ used that, a fundamental part of human nature, to communicate spiritual truth, and especially in the text that we're going to look at this evening. The parable is the parable of the two debtors. And this is just a couple of verses, but it is a parable because it's not a literal story about two people that were indebted to a money lender, but rather it's a story geared to communicate a spiritual truth to a specific group. And in Luke chapter 7, and we're going to read a little bit more than just the parable, so we'll get the surrounding, because if you don't know why Christ told this particular parable, you're not going to understand the parable well at all. So, beginning in verse 36, now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and kept wiping them with the hair of her head, and kissing his feet, and anointing them with perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to say to you. He replied, say it, teacher. A moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now that's a very interesting circumstance. A Pharisee, a religious leader, invites Christ to come and dine with him. So, in the culture of that day, to have a meal with someone was a big deal. You just didn't have a meal with anybody. You had people over whom you wanted to spend time with, whom you appreciated, whom you respected. So this Pharisee, this religious leader, respected Christ because of his teaching, because of his following, and in inviting him in, a woman in the city who was a sinner, and doesn't say any more than that, we just know that she was probably a known woman of ill repute, comes in and begins to anoint his feet with a costly perfume, to wipe his feet with her tears and her hair. And if you're wondering why, how that works, like how is, because it said she was standing behind him and she was anointing his feet. Well, you didn't sit in chairs when they ate. They were reclining at the table. So basically, the table was about as high as the pew height seat is. And you would recline, you would kind of lay down on your side, and you would kind of be in that position reclining at the table as you ate. So she was standing behind him, and she was wiping his feet with her tears and her hair. And in doing so, she was abjectly broken over her sin. Now, in that day, the Jewish religious leaders had the belief that if you touched a sinner, you were contaminated by that sinful person. So this was just completely unparalleled, that Christ would not tell that woman to get away from me. You are a sinner. I want nothing to do with you. Why are you touching me? Rather, he was absolutely fine with it. And this religious leader says, well, if he knew what kind of woman this was, he wouldn't be letting this happen. So he's obviously not the prophet that he says he is. But then, to counteract this misunderstanding about sinfulness and how it rubs off on people and how you have to be right with the religious elites in order to be right with God, to counteract all of that, Christ tells a story. So let's go back and let's, starting in verse 41, he starts telling this story. A moneylender. So isn't that good to know that they had payday loans back then too? Had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. So one had an enormous debt and the other had not a little, but not unmanageable either. Now, this is kind of unlike the payday loans. When they are unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. And his question to Simon, the religious leader, was, which of them will love him more? Well, Simon says, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? And that really struck me. Well, I wonder how many people we don't see. People that, just the picture of me driving up to a stop sign and there being somebody with a cardboard placard right beside my door, and I don't see them.
Yeah.
How many people do we not see? And just so you know, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't give money to people that are begging on the side of the road, but I am saying that are we so used to not seeing groups of people that we miss opportunities to minister? That we miss opportunities to share the love of Christ with people that are open to the gospel because we are not open to them. So this was a very good question. Do you see this woman? Because you remember what happened in the parable that Christ told of the Good Samaritan. We'll get there eventually. The Good Samaritan stopped and helped the man who was beaten and wounded. What did the religious leaders do? They walked by on the other side. They did not see him. So I think this is a very appropriate question for Simon, the Pharisee, and for us. Do we see the people around us that we don't deem worthy? This woman was not worthy to be in the presence of Christ because she was a sinner. And it's amazing how sometimes we categorize people as less than, as in a different category. And, you know, some people, if they look nice and they smell nice and they have the right attitude and the right demeanor about them, then, yeah, I should probably tell them about Christ. And by the way, I'm not saying I'm a stellar example of the right way to do it, because I'm guilty of that categorization as much as anybody else. It is. You know, that whole birds of a feather idea. Mm-hmm. We, a lot of times, we like to associate with people that are like us.
Like, you look like a student, you smell like a
student. Right.
He takes a bath like
and, yeah, exactly. And that makes a big difference to a lot of people. So I think it's important for us to recognize that sometimes we really don't see people. And we need to be careful that we don't adopt the attitude of Simon the Pharisee. And he had no problem with Jesus, because Jesus was a religious teacher. He was respected. He had followers. He had clout. He had position. He had power, because he had people following him. So, of course, Jesus could come and dine with him, but that woman, no. And notice his indictment of the Pharisee. I entered your house. So, was the Pharisee really that hospitable? Because in that day, it was customary when someone came into your house, you would have someone in the house, usually the lowest of the servants, wash the feet of the people who came in, because they didn't have socks and shoes. They had sandals and dirty, dusty roads, so their feet were dirty and dusty. But he says, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. So, Jesus was the Son of God. His feet still got dirty. So, what she was doing was an act of sacrifice. She was sacrificing her dignity, because it wasn't the host that would wash the feet of the guest. It was the servant of the servants that would wash the feet of the guest. That was the lowest job, which makes what Christ did for his disciples that much more impactful, because he took on the form of a servant, the servant of a servant, to do the most menial task. And he said, look, I've done this for you. Do this for one another also. So he says, she wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she has, since the time I came in, not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. So, do you think she was there to be accepted by Simon or to be forgiven by Christ? She didn't care what Simon thought of her. She knew what Simon thought of her. I'm sure that she had been made very clear throughout her entire life what the religious elites thought of her. But she was concerned with what Jesus thought of her. And she made the better decision, because he said, your sins have been forgiven. So, in the parable that we talked about, what is sin compared to? Remember, there were two debtors, and they were in debt to a money lender. And sin in the parable would be compared to what in the words of Christ? Money, or more specifically, money that you owe. A debt. So sin is a debt. And that makes it very impactful what Christ said while he was on the cross, which is, it is finished, which means paid in full. So that's what Christ accomplished on the cross, was the payment for the sins of the world. So Christ here telling her that her debt had been forgiven. She was the 500 denarii. And that's what the answer, I jumped ahead a little bit, that's the answer to this question. Who would the woman who kissed Jesus' feet be compared to from the parable? The bigger debt was the woman, because her sins were many. So who would the Simon the Pharisee be compared to in the parable? Now, how much of a debt does it take for us to be unable to enter heaven? Any. And in fact, and this is something that took me a while to get into my head, is that people, when they're born, are born separated from God. So it doesn't take any sin to send us to hell. Now, that does raise the question, well, what about babies who haven't had a chance? Well, I do believe there's an age of accountability where we reach an age where God now knows, we know the difference between right and wrong, and we are responsible for choosing or rejecting Christ, who is the only way to heaven. So that is how you deal with that problem at the beginning. But we don't have to do anything to miss heaven. We can do nothing, quote unquote, wrong and still miss heaven because we have a sin nature. We are born separated from God, and we need restored to God, because Paul says that before salvation we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And we are made alive together with Christ through salvation. So our job is not to be a good person so God will love us enough to let us into heaven, which is a lot of people's opinion of how to get into heaven. You have to be good enough, and your good deeds have to outweigh your bad deeds. Not in the Bible whatsoever. So we have to not be good enough for heaven. We have to be humble enough to receive the payment for our sins. So how do you think Simon saw himself? Righteous. Right with God. He had it all together. He was trying to figure out where to place Christ in his hierarchy of righteousness. Was he a good guy? Was he Alpha's rocker? Was he someone to listen to or something to scorn? Oh yeah, I think Simon was very respected in his circles of influence. How do you think the woman saw herself? Very. Right.
Down there, I mean, that's down on the ground.
No inkling of self-respect or self-worth. Because of all that she had suffered at the hands of the religious leaders. Let me make a comparison, and I want to be kind of careful here, but in the religions of our day, we have to be very, very careful that we are not the Pharisee. Because we can have the opinion that we are righteous because we go to church and we don't drink and we don't smoke and we don't hang out with people that do. And instead of seeing ourselves the way the woman saw herself, sometimes we can see ourselves like Simon the Pharisee saw himself. And we have to be careful that we don't see ourselves as righteous because of all the stuff we do right and all the many things we don't do wrong, because it doesn't take but one wrong to make you all wrong. Sin separates. So unless we are humble enough to admit and confess our sins, then Christ has promised that he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, who does the moneylender represent in the parable? Christ or God. He is the one who is able to forgive the debt. Now, the debtors would be mankind. Everybody falls into that category. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So what would the denarii represent? That's money. But the money in this parable would represent sin on the part of the debtors. So as we recognize what Christ is trying to communicate, he had this opportunity to try to instruct this religious leader and this unworthy woman about the true nature of fellowship with God. It's not about being of the right class or the right income level or the right outward appearance. It's about, are you humble enough to come before Christ on bended knee, recognizing his authority, his majesty, and our need of his forgiveness?